Let's see if this works. Thank you. It's kind of funny, you know, we're not even covering what you'd consider a full sentence today. So basically, it kind of began back in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And let's go ahead and say this part together. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I put these slides together, and I was trying to, sometimes they're easy to come across, some, you know, like kind of a good image that kind of helps encapsulate and capture maybe the theme of the message. And I just kind of punched in the computer, wide eyes, wide open eyes or eyes. And one of the pictures that came up was this. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. You know, first of all, that, I know it looks like most of our babies. You know, it's kind of a beautiful face. But I want to encourage us to have eyes like that. We are the children of God, and we need to have eyes wide open. Amen? Eyes wide open to the things of God. That's what Paul is praying for. He's first and foremost, he's praying for the opening of the eyes of the church. Now, this is important. He's not talking about unbelievers here. He's talking about the church. And so he's praying that the church's eyes, that Christian believers' eyes would be opened. And so so here he's, and remember, he has just laid out these wonderful, amazing blessings that Christ has purchased for us in his blood. And he's laid these wonderful truths out, all these blessings. And now what he's doing is, now he's praying about them. He's really saying, now I'm going to pray for you that the truths that are yours, that you really know it. You really know these things. And so he prays for three particular things. He prays that they would know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? So calling, inheritance, and power. Say that. Calling, inheritance, and power. Those are the things specifically, particularly, that he's praying for. Those three ideas really take into, in a way, are the summary, if you will, of the application of the blessings. Hope of his calling, riches of his inheritance, and greatness of his power. So, we're only going to get to the first one, I think, today. But in order to understand these things, they needed the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. That word in the Greek for enlighten, it means to give light, it means to shine or to cause to shine, to illuminate, to brighten up, to render evident or to manifest, to make something clear, to make see. So I find it interesting that he's praying for believers that they would see. Because you would think that they could already see. You would think that believers already would have sight. But he's not assuming that. So obviously what he's talking about, he's not talking about sight that's related to salvation. Because he's writing to believers and he's praying for believers. He's praying that believers would see. He's praying that the truths of God, the blessings of God would be made clear to their understanding. So it suggests something to us. It suggests that there's a difference between knowing about something and really knowing something. So the Ephesian believers, they had the capacity, the capacity to read the letter, these words that Paul wrote. They had the capacity to read them with their own eyeballs. They had the capacity to hear them with their ears. They had the capacity to give assent to its veracity. In other words, they could say, this is true. They could say amen to the things that Paul had written in the letter. In fact, I believe that they would have done that. Amen. Another blessing. Amen. Another blessing. Amen. And so they could assent to its veracity. They could say, this is true. They could agree with the declarations. Intellectually grasp these things. Maybe go to a precept study about them. Do precepts. They could get that on a precepts level. But they could do all of that and not really know them. So Paul is praying that they would really know something. Have you done that before? You've read the scripture. You've read the scripture over and over again. Particular scripture, particular verse. No doubt you've read the book of Ephesians many times. Have in the past, say, couple of months we've been in Ephesians, have you seen anything new in it to you? Have you? Have you seen something that you hadn't seen before? But did you read it? And did you say amen to it before? Yes. You read it. You heard it. You heard it preached. You studied it. You precepted it. You said amen. And yet here you are and there's still more. Isn't that wonderful? You see, Paul is praying that we would know more deeply, more personally, more intimately the blessings that we all have. Those who are in Christ already have them. But he's not assuming that they get it. And so he's praying that they would get it. And they need the help of the Holy Spirit to open their eyes. You know what this is like. How many of you have walked into a room and forgot why you walked in there? Some people are very proud of it. Do it all the time. Yeah, that's me. What? You've walked into the room and you knew you came in here for something. But you can't remember what it is. And you sit, you stand there. And you keep it to yourself because you don't want anybody to know why you're standing in that room. And you're trying to look around the room to see why you came in, right? Did I come in here for something? I know I came in here for something. What is it? Some of you have never figured it out. You just quit and went on with life. Some of you are just realizing that you're here now. Now, we do that all the time. And then you discover, well, there it is, or if you've been working it, the pencil's in your hand or in your ear. Oh, it's here. It's in my hand. I think that's just God's way of humbling us. But I think that's part of, there's something that happens. So we can be here in the room. And it's sitting right in front of us, but we can't see it. We might think, oh, this is good for somebody else, but we can't see it for ourselves. And Paul is praying that we would have insight, that we would have perception about what God is saying about these things. Because you can read chapter 1 and you can say amen at every verse, but not see it and how it relates to you. And how it works in your life. And what it means for you today. The word know in the Greek. He prays that you may know. It means to see or perceive. Notice, discover, discern. To get knowledge of. To know how. You see, there's a how involved in God's blessings. How does this work? The word means to have skill, to be skilled in. So Paul is praying that they would be skilled in the blessings of God. And so I think this prayer tells us something about ourselves. It tells us something that there's something that's just a part of our makeup, and which is we tend to be blind toward things unless we're given aid to see. We don't, in other words, we don't see spiritual things naturally. It doesn't come naturally to us to perceive them or to understand them. We need divine aid. Amen? We need divine help. We need God to say, here, this is what this means. This is what this looks like. I don't know about you. I need glasses. And I'm getting to the place where actually these glasses aren't working like they ought to in every respect that my eyes require. That's a long way of saying something that I don't feel like saying. But, you know, to where I've got to do this to see something close. Now, I've always been what's called nearsighted, so I can see things close, and far away, not so much. So I need glasses to see things far. Now I'm realizing that I'm going to need to get something, I think, what do they call it, a bifocal? Refusing to know what that is. Anyway, but I'm going to need something for help with to assist me in my vision. And Christians need assistance. They need help. Something several years ago, but up where we live, some of you know where that is, we'll deal with the occasional coyote. We've got chickens, and we used to have goats, and we've had rabbits, and we've got some calves and all those. You know, we got like a old McDonald had a farm type of thing out there, right? And don't start singing. But at night, there have been occasions when the coyotes wake you up, and they sound really close. And so we usually have a weapon or two nearby. And so, but this one particular night, they were loud and they were close. And when you're in a deep sleep, for me, I'm just as soon stay sleeping and let them yowl all they want. But, but if they've woken up my spouse, then I'm not going to be allowed to stay sleeping. And so, so it's like coyotes, they're right outside. And so, when you wake up out of a kind of a stupor, I remember, so I pop out of bed, and trying to find something to put on my shoes, I put on my feet, my shoes. Like I'm looking for feet, that's what it's like in the morning. You don't know whether your feet or your shoes. Anyway, you throw those on and you grab the gun and I remember being out and it's really dark. There's no moon out, it's like an overcast night sky. And I've got my rifle and I'm squinting, looking for where they're at. Because I forgot my glasses. And so I'm just kind of, I can't see them. It's dark and I don't have my glasses on. And so right next to me, I just hear this boom, boom, boom. And so there's Angie standing in her nightgown with a 44-40 pistol shooting at this thing. And I'm standing in my underwear with my rifle. Can't see. Can't see. Is you don't have help, you're not going to see. And we need to be able to see. Paul's prayer is that our eyes would be open. It's like Paul saying, can you, oh my God, look at this. It's almost like he just, again, wrote these incredible blessings. And it's almost like, and sometimes this can happen in a, I get pretty excited, about the Word of God and about God's blessings, and getting a little excited here. But it's kind of like, us responding to God's blessing, like, yeah, amen. Praise God. I don't know if there were folks in the audience that were hearing the letter going, amen. Isn't that neat? Kind of describing God's blessings as neat. Isn't that neat? Wow. It's really nice of God. Paul's like, open your eyes. Isn't it Behold! Behold what God has done! How can you sit there and just, amen? Now, he wants them to see, to open their eyes, because in these blessings is their life. Their life is in these blessings. It's Christ's life is in these blessings. So you can have eyes, as Christians you can have eyes, and not see. You can go to church all your life, read the Bible daily, be raised in a Christian home from day one, and not have the eyes of your understanding enlightened. Doesn't mean you're not saved. He's talking, he's praying for Christian people. But you could be saturated with Christianity and not see it. And so much of our struggles, I think, in the Christian life is a result of not seeing it. Not really knowing. Knowing about it, but not really knowing it for you. Understanding what God has really, really given us in Christ Jesus. We simply do not see. My mom was, or is, one of 12. See, there I am. It's news to me. I guess I've got, oh, there were 12. No, you're right, Mom. 10. The math is a little off. What happened to the other two? What happened to Steve? Billy Bob. Anyway, one of my uncles, brothers, was blind. And in fact, of all of my on my mom's side, my aunts and uncles, he was like my favorite. You know, there's something that you just loved Uncle Robbie, you know. And he was pretty, you know, quiet, kept himself and kind of worked his way around the house. And I enjoy, especially later in life, I enjoyed just, you know, if I had opportunity to go and visit, he stayed, you know, he lived with his mother, my grandmother, for, you know, his whole life, and died a few years ago. But I remember going and just sit and visit with him and talk with him and that kind of thing. But you know, you'd learn things about how the family operated, the siblings operated when they were kids. And it was fortunate that Uncle Robbie ate anything and everything that was put in front of him. Because there were things that his brothers and sisters didn't want to eat. And so what they would do to poor Uncle Robbie is they would, when Mom wasn't looking, they'd kind of just kind of scrape their plate on Uncle Robbie's plate. And Uncle Robbie just sitting there, just kind of probably thinking to himself, man, when am I going to get done? Poor guy. Like that spinach. You know, I don't like the cabbage. I don't like the peas, the squishy peas. And they just scraped on his plate when Grandma wasn't looking. And he just kind of eat. Gosh, poor guy. I don't know about you, but I don't want to eat stuff that I don't want to eat. I mean, there's stuff that I want on my plate. I want to be able to see. You know what I'm talking about? I want to be able to see what's on the plate. So I want my eyes to be open. I want the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened so that I can see what is in front of me. Amen. What is in front of you? And Paul has put out a plate of blessed food. Where'd that thing go? Anyway, there. Oh, it's over the candle. Oh, what? Man, we're having way too much fun. On fire. Way too much fun today. God help us. That would have been a communion that you'd never would have forgotten. David prayed in the Psalms, he said, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Jesus surprised two men on the road to Emmaus. Began talking to them about the scripture. And it says that he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. The word comprehend in the Greek means to put together. So in other words, the two men on the road to Emmaus had these pieces and they were trying to understand them. And Jesus comes along and he starts putting the pieces together like a puzzle. Because for some of us, the scriptures and the blessings and the Word of God, while we believe them, it's kind of like a bunch of pieces. And we need the Holy Spirit to come along and start putting the pieces together so that we can see what God has done, what Christ has done. David already believed the scriptures, and yet he said, open my eyes. The two men on Emmaus Road, they believed. They believed the scriptures, and yet they needed their eyes opened that they might comprehend. Like them, we need the eyes of our understanding opened, that we might comprehend, that we might grasp, that we might know deeply and see more clearly the blessings that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. When we're not walking in this understanding, it's why we struggle. It's why we sometimes don't get very far. It's why maybe some of us are stuck in that same habit or that same way of thinking or that emotion. We're just stuck in that place. It's because we need the eyes of our understanding that we might comprehend what God has really done for us. Not just something for the future, and it is. It does have to do with what's to come. But it's also for what's right now. So he prays for three particular things. The first being that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So his calling at this point, this calling simply has in view the promises that Paul has previously stated. His calling, his calling, meaning God's calling, his calling to be chosen before the foundation of the world, his calling to be holy and blameless, his calling to be predestined to adoption as sons, his calling to be accepted in the beloved, his calling to be redeemed through his blood, his calling to be forgiven, his calling to know the mystery of his will, his calling to obtain an inheritance, his calling to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. His calling, again, all of these things make up that great calling of God. This is the high calling that Paul prays that we ought to know. The Word of God talks a lot about this calling. I'll read some scripture. It's a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. It's a heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. It's an upward calling. Paul writes in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the upward call. It's a saintly calling. Romans 1, 6 and 7. You are the call of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. It is a worthy calling. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. It's a calling based on sovereign purpose. Romans 8, 28 and following. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the what?
Called
according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. It's a calling that's based on oneness. Ephesians 4, 4. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. It's a calling out of darkness. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's a calling into his kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Walk worthy of the calling who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. It is a calling into his glory. 2 Thessalonians 2. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of glory. He called you by our gospel so that you might obtain his glory. He's called you to his glory.
Amen.
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 Got one person excited about that. It's a calling to be with him. Revelation 17, 14. These, meaning of the enemies, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Amen?
Amen.
He has called us to be with him. What a high calling! And Paul prays that we would know the hope of his calling. That hope, I think, is important. Do we have another verse up here? Oh, we are right here. No, no, next one. There we go. The Bible talks about hope, and when the Bible talks about hope, it is referring to something that you can be confident in, something you can count on, something that you can stand on, something sure and steadfast. So when the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about something that you can really know. Know for certain. The word itself, it means expectation. Without a hint of doubt or uncertainty. That's what it means. Without a hint of uncertainty. It comes from a word that means to anticipate with pleasure. In other words, to know that something is going to be good. Something's going to be good. Had my, for Angie's birthday, which was a couple weeks ago, had Elaine make her Rice Krispie treats. Okay, I don't know if you've never had them. It's too bad. It's too bad for you. Because it's some Rice Krispie treats with chocolate, right, Darren? This was, by the way, this was like Angie's kind of birthday cake, and it arrived to our house with a quarter of it missing. Apparently, he didn't share it with anybody in his family either. So, in any case, now here's the thing. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, with absolutely no uncertainty, that was going to be good. Wasn't wishful thinking. You know what I'm talking about, because there are times you look at something and it really looks good, but you're not quite sure. So you might ask the question, well, who made it? Right? Who made it? You're at a potluck, who made it? I mean, usually you try it, it tastes really good, and you're like, who made it? But because you're not quite sure, it looks good, but you're not quite sure it's going to be good. See, that's not hope. That's wishful thinking. Okay? You're hoping that it's going to be good, but you don't really know. So it really would help to know who made it. And when you hear that name, oh, so-and-so made it, then I know that it's going to be good. And I take two. And now there isn't anybody that would come to mind. I'm sure that, oh, so-and-so made it. I better pass and go to something else. That's not, that wouldn't happen. I'm sure. But that's the hope. It's anticipation with pleasure. You know that this is going to be good. Why? Because you know the one who made it. These blessings are going to be good. In fact, they are good. They're good now. Amen? They're good now. They're going to be good later. I love, it's like, you know, this is, I don't want to say leftover. I don't want to speak of this as leftover. It's just kind of like the appetizer. Okay? And this is going to be good. And it's going to be good. And it's good now. Why is that? Because it's God. Because it's Christ. Because it's the Spirit of God. How could it not be? Amen? We have real hope that this is going to be good. That this is good. This is a real blessing. And I can really know that. And this church, the Ephesian church, they knew Paul, by the way. Paul had a special relationship with the church in Ephesus. And so they could go on Paul's word. Because Paul is saying, guys, this is good. And you know, there are folks that you trust their word. If somebody says something's good, you're going to give it a try. Because you know, because they're trustworthy. And so they're looking at Paul and saying, well, Paul says this is good. Well, then it must be. It must be. What is important to understand about this hope, is that it's not dependent upon whether we feel hopeful. You understand that? This hope is not dependent upon whether you and I feel hopeful about it or not. This hope is true whether you and I are confident in it or not. Amen? It's not based on how you feel about it. It's not based on what's going on in your life, your circumstances. It's hopeful. It's true. It's guaranteed. That's what Paul's telling them. We can rest in absolute assurance in the hope of his calling. We can. He's saying we should. But his calling is true whether we are assured or not. You can bank on it. But even if you don't, it's still true. Now, hope does not do what?
Disappoint.
Say it loud like you mean it.
Disappoint.
Now, hope does not disappoint. I like that. Just memorize that section right there. Hope does not disappoint. God's hope does not disappoint. It will never let you down. It will never make you be ashamed that you trusted in Him. That you trusted in Him. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that He has been given to us. Hebrews 6. Let's go to the next scripture real quick. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's an anchor. And it will keep you from going all over the place on the sea of this life. You get anchored. In Christ, He is our hope. This hope is not based upon us and our ability to trust it. This hope is based upon the trustworthiness of God and His ability to do it and to keep it. So Paul's prayer is that we would know this hope and that this hope would be our hope. Our hope rests in the conviction that it is His calling. He has called me. He has promised. He has appointed. He has determined. He has secured. He has chosen. It has everything to do with the one who has called. It's one thing when you send your one of your children to go tell Elijah, go tell Joseph that we need him. He needs to come home, or whatever, vice versa. If he's listening to a sibling, doesn't carry a lot of weight. But if I say, Joseph, tell Daddy that Elijah said come home, they're going to hear that differently. You follow? Because why? I called. That calling is based upon me. This calling is his calling. It's based upon God. He has done it. Remember, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. He's writing to us. And he's saying, this is what you already have. I just want you to see it. I just want you to receive it by faith. It'll change your life. Oh, it's still true whether you fully get it or not. It doesn't change what God has done, how you feel about it, or whether you're walking in line with it or not. But it's there and it's true. Don't you want to see it? Why would you want to remain blind? Don't you want your eyes to see? Amen? Don't you want to see what God has done? Christians? Or are you just content squinting? Can't quite see. No, he's given us spiritual eyesight, the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I love this. He says, in Philippians 3, we'll close with this. I've not apprehended it yet. It's really talking about the calling of God in its fullest expression, its fullest sense. I've not apprehended it yet. But I press on. But I press on that I may apprehend that for which I've been apprehended of in Christ Jesus. In other words, saying, I am going after the very reason that Jesus Christ got me, saved me, called me. I want to know that fully. I don't want there to be anything about it that I don't know, if possible. I want to know it. What about you? You just content to be saved? You just content to go to heaven? Or do you want to know the hope of his calling? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. I know I am so thankful, Lord God, that I'm among a people in this little church that want to know the hope of your calling. Oh God, would you open our eyes? And would we be in a place where our eyes can be opened? Lord, where we need our eyes opened and our blindness removed, oh God, help us. Help us with your Holy Spirit that we may really, really, really know what you've done for us. Lord, would you guide us now as we celebrate what our Savior has done for us. And as we consider the bread and the cup this morning, help us to see. Help us to see what this really means. Help us to grasp in a greater way, in a deeper way, what you've done. May this move us, even as we continue and go into worship. And so would you just bless this time and bless the word. May it continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.